like a herd of turtles.
The sun's shining now.
It is.
It was Swampsville earlier.
Yeah, it was just pouring rain, which is great for our garden and all of the wild things out there. Not so great for the trails, but...
No, and it also encourages the old mosquitoes.
Yeah, your best friends, eh?
Although you've been getting pestered a bit more than me recently, I feel.
I don't know. This weekend, I feel you were a little more bothered. Bugged by a good one.
I wonder if it's the bug spray. It tracks them in.
I felt like it actually helped me out.
Yeah. I need a sheep dip.
What is that?
So in England, when they, twice a year, I think, to get rid of, like, ticks and all that stuff, they have, like, a bath where they put the sheep in it up to its ears. And it gets a quick dip. That's what I need before I go riding this time of the year.
I could arrange that.
Sheep dip.
For you.
Yeah. That's something to look forward to.
What's in the dip? In the brine?
I'd imagine nothing good for us. Like, if it kills bugs, then... probably not pleasant, but all you people with wool sweaters, I guess you're wearing wool that's been dipped. It's probably been clean since, but...
Whoa. Never thought about that.
So, we went for a ride. Well, we've been to a few places more local recently, I guess.
Yeah, we've been keeping it local the last... couple of weekends.
Learning a bit more about our local areas in more detail, so that should anybody turn up and want to go riding, we know all of the trails, not just the ones that I like to ride, which is generally what's been happening.
Yeah, and exploring some of the ones that, you know, have not been maintained, doing a little bit of bushwhacking, and, yeah, definitely trying a few that have been kind of out of commission.
Neglected.
Yes, neglected. And it's quite obvious.
So I guess the route that we did, though, was a loop around Short Hills, right? That was the...
Yeah, you did figure out a solid loop, eh?
Yeah, some of which we did a couple of years ago or even last year. But... yeah, we put together like a, I don't know, 10 or 11 mile loop that was... it didn't feel like 10 or 11 miles, did it? It was pretty pleasant, I think.
Was that the one with the gigantic hill at the end?
Yeah, that was that one. That did maybe.
Aside from the ginormous hill towards the end, aside from that, no, it didn't feel like 10 or 11 miles, but... I'm thinking about trudging up that hill, and at that point it might have felt like... I also recall having a backpack full of rocks.
Yeah, we could talk about that. Hydro
probably
Hill.
Probably didn't help.
Hydro Hill was the hill we...
are referring to?
Yeah, so we did trail most of the way, and then we did the last bit on tarmac. Interestingly, we emerged from the trail, and... a couple of road cyclists were coming down, and a lady said, "Are you riding up?" Which was...
like, very dramatically,
just
though.
Just a very strange interaction, but anyway, who knows?
Well, the weird part of the strange part of the interaction was that, based on how dramatically she asked us this question, she said nothing after it. Like, there should have been a comment, like, "Yes, we are." And why?
She just
said nothing. She just rode off.
And she was riding down. I should have said, "Are you riding down?" Like, it was bizarre. But anyway, apart from that, everything was...
she really left us hanging on that one.
A little bit, as you can tell, which is why I brought it up.
Well, it was just strange. Like, was there something we missed? Like, was there a bear or something?
Do we have bears in Niagara? I don't think so.
I don't know, but I mean...
could have been a vicious squirrel.
It was like she should have... something should have followed, like, "Look out for this," or "Something's closed," or I don't know, "There's a moose up there," possum, a raccoon, a squirrel, anything.
yeah, there was nothing. However, on a more positive note, we did continue to interact with some hikers. That was quite amusing. Because we ran into them, and then we'd go and do a different loop, and then we'd run into them again, and then we'd do a different loop. And they were friendly. Every time we passed, they were like, oh, hi again. So
they were cool. Fun. That's when they were kind of busting me collecting a few rocks when I filled my sack.
Yeah.
Prior to going up the hill.
And then I carried this backpack full of rocks for a while and should have had another 3 or 4 PSI in my tyres based on how heavy they were. So.
Well, I did carry it up the hill.
You did, but you clearly have a plan for those, which we're not disclosing yet, so... You know.
I don't really have a great plan. I just liked them.
So, yeah, so we did another route of short hills, which was... or we made a loop of short hills, which was quite interesting. What's your thoughts on the old short hills now, then?
I definitely liked the loop. I mean, I always prefer a loop as opposed to an out and back.
Yeah.
That one downhill is pretty spectacular, I must say. It's jolly good fun.
Yeah, and it goes on a bit, doesn't it?
The only sucky part is when you run into a massive clan of walkers. I mean, I'm pleased that you're in front of me and I see you stopped, so I know to stop, but I wouldn't want to be first. And I mean, you could be kind of flying down there. Anyways, it's a little bit interrupting of my bombing away.
I mean, my view of short hills generally is it's far better to ride it at the end of the day or earlier in the morning. If you're like any time between 11 and 3, it tends to be full of hiking parties, it would appear. Which is, you know, a little bit annoying, so...
I mean, it's great that they're out and enjoying, but
be
mindful that you could whip around a corner and...
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to that group, as has been other groups in that particular part, I think they're well aware there's bikes coming and everybody's pretty friendly. I mean, we waited for them because there was about 20 of them, so, yeah.
I just remembered the one guy that was so into it and so into his recording that he almost...
wiped out off the side of the trail.
But he was so happy.
He was. He didn't care, did he?
Yeah.
We, on the mushroom front, I'm just going to get this out of the way. We found some Rusula rosa.
Rusula rosa?
Yeah.
That is a tongue twister.
They are a little bit. Which are an edible mushroom. And looking at it, you know, whilst hanging about in the woods and then looking at it a bit later on, everything stood up. The rosy brittlegill, which is his other name, is edible. And it's peppery. And all of the things are in its favour until I did a bit more digging, and then I realised that actually there is another mushroom called the Beechwood Sickener.
Well,
which looks pretty much the same, and the difference is the trees they are. So one tends to be, but not exclusively, around beech trees, the other one oak and maple, and I think the one that we found was oak and maple. But they both have like a pink tinge to the stem. Mine had a pink tinge to the stem. Spore print's the same colour. So after a lot of research...
Extensive research!
I was like, do you know what? I can't figure this out, which is unusual for me to give up. But I need to look again at what the trees are. I didn't want to run the risk of eating the beechwood sickener because I think that would have given us a good dose of feeling out.
Sickening?
So much for the Ruslers.
Rosy Rusula.
I failed on this one.
Well, you didn't necessarily fail.
I kind of did. I feel like I probably allowed us to live to fight another day, so...
Well, that's a win, not a fail.
That's true.
That's a large success in my books.
So, yeah, so that was my... Jessica normally talks about the mushrooms, but I did the identifying on this one, and, didn't quite get to where I thought I was going to get, so...
Well, and that's the way it goes sometimes, and, it is a bit frustrating, particularly when the spore print are the same color to the toxic one and the edible one. That's a bit disappointing.
Yeah, and I looked at everything, you know, the gills and the gills flake and then the color of the stem and then the blah, blah, blah. And the only thing I didn't make a proper note of was the tree type. And I'm pretty sure that in Short Hills it's oak and maple. I don't think there's any beech. But then I'm like, is there though? Or did I make a mistake? And then where exactly did I find it? And anyway, I live to fight another day. So I made that decision.
That was your motto on that one?
A little bit, yeah. So I'll be back for you, Rosie.
Got unfinished business with Rosie.
But you had a bit more success with identifying a couple of things.
Well, no, I actually, on the last mushroom that I was trying to identify, I had pretty much the exact same outcome that you did, except I had already, gone ahead and sliced it up and sun-dried it and all the things. However, did not consume it, and I have also made the decision to... live to fight another day.
Coming soon, some dried mushroom artwork on our website.
So true. So true. But hey, I am not a total fail, though, because I did get to run the experiment of sun-drying as opposed to dehydrating in our, super deluxo dehydrator. And that was a success. 24 hours in the good old peninsula scorching heat down here, and... we got leather, folks.
Yeah, no glass, just out in the sun, eh?
Yep. I actually put it in the fire pit. With no fire, yes. Because it had a nice little screen lid on the top, so no little critters could get in there. Anyways, it was a success.
Yep.
So, pleased about that little experiment. But yes, I had come to the same conclusion with the last mushrooms that I brought home. I thought that they were bicolor boletes.
Yeah.
And then I was on the path of thinking that they were redmouth boletes. And in the end, I'm not certain it's either of them. And I got mixed... reviews about the edibility. Is that a word?
It is now.
Okay. I got mixed findings on that one. So when in doubt, don't eat it.
No, and we didn't spore print them, did we?
Did not. I was on a bit of a tear of, I don't know, getting things done. And I just went right for the slicing and dehydrating.
I mean, we've had boletes before.
Well, yes.
One or two.
And I thought it was, I thought that boletes mostly in general were edible, but, I'm not going to assume every single one. I could get back to that research at some point. We'll see if I find a few more or not. Anyway.
I think, to be honest, though, your boletes collecting was just because you couldn't find chanterelles, which is what you were actually looking for, and then...
Yeah, and I haven't seen Belize since pretty much last year, so it was just really nice to see my little friends again. They're cute little suckers.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah, I would agree.
I want to find some more caper stalks. I like that, with how those ones are called.
Scaper stalks.
Yeah.
Well, you did have a few successful things with other things, though.
I did. Was there anything else you'd like to mention about the riding?
I don't think so. I mean, on our website, I've done started to put some videos together for people that want to get an idea of what the area is like. We might go a bit further with them. I'm not sure yet. I mean, I will probably go a bit further with them. Just time. I have this idea that I would like to record every trail in our region.
You did say.
But that's not quite as easy as you might think. So I'm going to make a start at some point. So I think that was it really on the trails. I mean, we talked about Short Hills quite a bit. You can go back and listen to some other episodes on Short Hills.
Also, we do have a cool new location planned for one of the next episodes. So don't you worry, we're not slacking on the riding, just been to some of the old local standbys. So on that note, shall I share a few little wild edible findings?
Yeah, and I've got a bit of advice on one of them anyway, so.
Oh, do you?
I do.
Okay then, I look forward to hearing that. Alright, so we have been finding many things in the last few weeks, but there's a couple that I'm going to share with you today, and one, I'm going to revisit wild garlic. So I have just recently learned that this is not only just to be foraged in the spring. Many parts of the plant can be used throughout the year. So I was pretty pleased when I stumbled across these. I thought, I know what those are. As the wild garlic plants mature, you will see little flower buds, and these are garlic scapes. And they're pretty cute little, like, snaky pigtails, I'd say.
Yeah.
And, anyways, to harvest them, you just snap them off a little ways below the bud, and quite similar to, I would say, asparagus, it will just know where it wants to snap. So just go a little below the flower bud, and it'll find its way. So some of the ones that we had collected were actually already on their way to going to seed, and that's okay. They're pretty cool looking too. They're like little mini heads of garlic, and they're even more concentrated and potent little bulbs. Awesome for chucking in a pot of soup stock.
I did try one of the buds, no, not the buds, one of the root parts, the bulb.
Oh, right.
I don't know what you were doing, but I had like one finely chopped with my my salad on some bread, and I think I tasted garlic for 3 days. It was stronger than anything you would ever get in your supermarket.
Yeah, look out.
And the size of the bulb was the size of my little fingernail, probably, so.
Super turbo garlic.
It was excellent.
Excellent. So you can also be sure to scatter a few of the seeds around. If you find some young scapes, they can be eaten raw, no problemo, in salads or with eggs is probably a pretty good move. We pickled some also, and then some of the more mature ones that were already a little bit sort of starting to go to seed, I whacked those in the dehydrator, and I am going to preserve them by grinding them into a fine powder.
Sounds excellent.
And check out this bonus, guys. By plucking these scapes, you were directing all of the energy to the bulb so that it can grow even larger for a fall visitation.
Marking them might not be a bad idea.
Well, that's Jamie, it's like you read my mind. I was just about to say, so remember where you collected your scapes, because those are the bulbs that you want to go back for in the autumn time.
Yeah.
Which I have a general idea.
I know what that area of land looks like. I'm saying no more. We'll be back on that one another time.
Yeah, I could hear it coming out of myself. Everything could look so different in another 1 week, let alone 2 months. So, point taken. As if I know. All right. The next one I wanted to share is oh so cool. A favorite of ours, I would say. And I'm talking about wild bergamot, also known as wild bee balm or wild oregano. And anyone who knows us knows that we love bergamot tea, Earl Grey, and our favorite is one that is called double bergamot. So we like all the bergamot, that is to say. So the wild bergamot, a medicinal and edible flower and herb, widespread in much of North America, it commonly occurs in large clumps, seems to like full sun or partial shade. I'd say it usually grows to around about 3 feet tall. The leaves are maybe 2 to 3 inches long, and they are lance-shaped and toothed. Both the leaves and the flowers are edible. And, oh, it's part of the mint family. And how do you know that? Mint plants generally have that square stem.
Oh, right, okay.
Yes. The flowers are kind of a light purpley pink, and in my opinion, they look a bit sort of scraggly or frizzly. Yeah, like as if they got a little electrocuted or something. They're cool looking. Some people say that they're showy.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And they have a professionally
cultivated one.
Yeah.
And that's the scarlet one, scarlet bee balm. And yeah, that color is like knock your socks off. And I believe that that one is also edible. So there you have it, gardeners.
So one thing I was going to say is if you're somebody that rides on rail trails or like the, you know, the tarmac or the more manicured trails, keep an eye out on the edges for this, because I think where I found some the other day was one of the places that we ride up in Queenston, but where I actually found them was on an area of trail that had been strimmed earlier in the year. So where someone had gone along and cut the path back to make it wider, and then these things had all sprouted there. You know, I found them the other day. So.
Right. Well, once they do have their flowers on them, they're pretty darn easy to spot, and they do grow in clusters, so super easy to collect a good whack of them.
And you can smell them, right?
Yes, you certainly can. So you can use both the leaves and the flowers, and you can use them both fresh or dried. I would say that you could substitute anywhere that you would use oregano, thyme, basil, or mint. Whack it in. That's what we say.
Yep.
And also, there's a long history of use as a medicinal plant. And just to mention a few things, of course, tea, as we mentioned, to treat colds. Also to treat mouth and throat infections. Also used as a natural mouthwash. There you go. Cool, eh?
Yeah.
And
you need that after the garlic cakes.
Yeah. There you go. Hand in hand. And also a strong antiseptic for skin infections or minor wounds. And I'm sure many more, but I'm going to stop there because I could probably go on and on and on and on and on about my best friend bergamot. Old Berg there.
Yeah, excellent.
So Jamie brought home a huge bouquet for me the other day, and he has them strung upside down in the garage, drying and making the garage smell pretty. Although, how many times do you hit your head on those?
Not yet, but I'm probably starting tonight.
Okay.
So.
Don't not be knocking all my flowers off.
I guess it won't be long. It's dried pretty quick in there because it's pretty hot, eh? So.
And we also did whack some in a paper bag upside down that are hanging up to collect some seeds, did we not?
Yeah, our front garden is a bit of a mess, so we thought we'd fill it with wildflowers.
I wouldn't say it's a mess, it's just blah. It needs some wildflowers.
We have
some bergamot.
Maple tree that blocks a lot of the sun, so we're on a mission to make it better.
Yep, one wildflower at a time.
So, that just leaves one thing to say.
And that is?
Get lost.